Yad,
Yad,
the Lord's lotus feet,
the Lord's lotus feet,
Shaucha,
Shaucha,
washing,
washing,
Nishrita,
Nishrita,
going forth,
going forth,
Sarin Pravara,
Sarin Pravara,
the Ganges,
of the Ganges,
Dakena,
Dakena,
by the water,
by the water,
Kirtena,
Kirtena,
holy,
holy,
Murni,
Murni,
on his head,
on his head,
Adikritena,
Adikritena,
born,
born,
Shiva,
Shiva,
Lord Shiva,
Lord Shiva,
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 auspicious,
auspicious,
Abhut,
Abhut,
became,
became,
Dhyatu,
Dhyatu,
of the mediator,
of the mediator,
sorry, of the meditator,
of the meditator,
Manaha,
Manaha,
in the mind,
in the mind,
Shabala Shaila,
Shabala Shaila,
the mountain of sin,
the mountain of sin,
Nishrishta,
Nishrishta,
pearl,
pearl,
Vajra,
Vajra,
thunderbolt,
thunderbolt,
Jaye,
Jaye,
one should meditate,
one should meditate,
Chira,
Chira,
for a long time,
for a long time,
Bhagavata,
Bhagavata,
the Lord,
the Lord,
Charanaravinda,
Charanaravinda,
on the lotus feet,
on the lotus feet.
Translation of the Purport by His Divine Grace, ISKCON Founder Chai, Bhavai, Chandrarinda Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada.
Chai!
The Blessed Lord Shiva becomes all the more blessed by bearing on his head the holy waters of the Ganges, which has its source in the water that washed the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord's feet act like a thunderbolt hurled to shatter the mountain of sin stored in the mind of the meditating devotee. One should therefore meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the position of Lord Shiva is specifically mentioned. The impersonalist suggests that the Absolute Truth has no form, and that one can therefore equally imagine the form of Vishnu or Lord Shiva or the goddess Durga or the Sam Ganesh. But actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Master of everyone. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 5.142, it is said, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Adhisattva Gritya. The Supreme Lord is Krishna and everyone else, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, not to mention other demigods, is a servant of Krishna. The same principle is described here. Lord Shiva is important because he is holding on his head the holy Ganges water, which has its origin in the foot wash of Lord Vishnu. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami, it is said that anyone who puts the Supreme Lord and the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, on the same level at once becomes a Pashandi or atheist. We should never consider that the Supreme Lord Vishnu and the demigods are on an equal footing. Another significant point in this verse is that the mind of the conditioned soul, on account of its association with the material energy, from time immemorial, contains heaps of dirt in the form of desires to lord it over material nature. This dirt is like a mountain, but mountain can be shattered when hit by a thunderbolt. Meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord acts like a thunderbolt on the mountain of dirt in the mind of the yogi. If a yogi wants to shatter the mountain of dirt in his mind, he should concentrate on the lotus feet of the Lord and not imagine something void or impersonal. Because the dirt has accumulated like a solid mountain, one must meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for quite a long time. For one who is accustomed to thinking of the Lord, the lotus feet of the Lord constantly, however, it is meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time after following the regulatory principle and thereby controlling the senses. It is specifically mentioned here, Bhagavata's Charanaravinda. One has to think of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Mayavad is imagined that one can think of the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, or the goddess Durga, or to achieve liberation. But this is not so. Bhagavata is specifically mentioned. Bhagavata means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and no one else. Another significant phrase in this verse is Shiva Shiva Bhut. By this constitutional position, Lord Shiva is always great and auspicious. But since he has accepted on his head the Ganges water, which emanated from the lotus feet of the Lord, he has become even more auspicious and important. The stress is on the lotus feet of the Lord. A relationship with the lotus feet of the Lord can even enhance the importance of Lord Shiva, not to speak of other ordinary living entities. Om Agyanati Vrandasya Agyanajaya Shalakaya Shakshuravirtama Kulina Asmai Shri Kaya Shri Chaitanya Vrishtam Svapitam Yena Bhutare Svayam Rupa Kadavyam Dadati Svapadati Kham E Krishna Kanya Sindhu Dinamadu Jagadate Komesha
buffer, so that the speed is minimized, and then
We have the Ganges River here floating all the time. So those of us who are fortunate enough can actually see the Ganges, take bath, and receive the blessings of the Lord, because the Ganges has touched the lotus feet of Krishna. That's why it is special, special. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly a theistic literature. Theistic means literature that puts the Supreme Being above everyone else. Sometimes people, especially in Kali Yuga, they're very eager to try to equalize everything and everyone. They say everyone is equal, Shiva and Brahma and Vishnu, they're all equal. It's why you're putting someone above the other. This is your own attachment to your own ideas, desiring to be superior because you believe in Krishna, you want to be superior than everyone else, and your ego is coming too. That's how they think. Did you get my point? They think that this is your ego, that because you are serving Krishna, and then you think Krishna is the greatest, and your ego is coming too. Certainly, if you think Shiva is the greatest, and Brahma is the greatest, and you try to promulgate this or preach it, then that is your ego. But not in the case of accepting Krishna as the Supreme and trying to preach or teach Krishna consciousness. That certainly is not an ego, that is actually great service. And here this verse is beautiful because it clearly states that Lord Shiva is blessed by bearing the Ganges water. Bhagavat can be a devotee as well. But in this case, we know the pastime is Vamana kicking the universe. Wasn't a devotee kicking the universe. So, and why the Lord is called Bhagavat or Bhagavat, and why the devotee is called Bhagavat. Sometimes devotee is also called Bhagavat. The Lord is called Bhagavat because he is full of all the opulences. And the devotee is called Bhagavan because he is serving the Lord, and by serving the Lord, all the opulences of the Lord become manifest for the devotee's usage. Therefore, he is Bhagavan. Like sometimes in the Shastra we see Bhagavan Vacha, and it's not the one speaking. So the Mayavadis, the foolish impersonalists, they think, yeah, just see, Shastra is confirming that everyone's Bhagavan. And that every Rupa is equal to God. But Prabhupada very clearly is stating here that you can't just put Ganesh, Durga, Shiva, Brahma on the equal. This is based on the teaching of Srila Sanatana Goswami, Hari Bhakti. Sanatana Goswami says, if you put all these deities on the equal platform with Vishnu, you become an atheist. Why? Because if you think everyone is equal, then you think I'm equal to them as well. And then you don't serve. And one who doesn't serve the Lord is an atheist. Or there are people who may be serving the Lord to become the Lord. It's like some Mayavadis, they follow bhakti process. Oh, I'm a bhakti. But his intention is to become one with God. So, this is all illusion. We can never become one with God in a sense, equal to God. We can never become merged and lose our identity and become God. We are always the servant. One time Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Dr. Mishra's school and in New York in the early days before his school was established. It's a beautiful day. And Prabhupada is teaching all these yoga students that we are the servant of God. And at the end, one lady put her hand and she said, but aren't we one with God? Why are you preaching all the time in your class that we are the servant of God? And Prabhupada said, no, we are not one with God, we are the servant. And she said, but I'm thinking that we are one with God, because she is a follower of Dr. Mishra. She was contaminated by Mayavada philosophy. So Prabhupada said to her like that, he said that if you have a child, right, and imagine if the child comes to you and the child says, "Mother, I want to merge back into your womb." How will you feel? You feel terrible. It's like the child telling the mother indirectly, "I don't want to exist. I want to merge back into your womb. I don't want to exist." So it's very painful for the mother to hear such a statement. So in the same way, if the Lord sees someone wanting to merge with Him, it's very painful for Him. It's like He wants to love that person, but that person doesn't want to exist. He wants to commit spiritual suicide. So it's very painful if you love someone and that person wants to commit suicide and see Jesus. So this is impersonalism. And again, last week I explained when I gave the talk, they say God is enjoying in this world and all that, and I always tell the impersonalists, how can God enjoy in the hospital, suffering from some terminal illness, can't even get up from the bed, nurses are serving God. What kind of God is that? That is foolish illusion. So, the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person, infallible person, Ajita. His name is Ajita. One who is unconquerable. Infallible and unconquerable. And that Supreme Person can never fall into illusion. And because He is all-powerful, He can come into this world. And He can appear to be one of us, but He is not one of us. Only fools like Duryodhana thought Krishna is like me. I can capture Him, I can put Him in jail, I can serve my purposes. But Duryodhana was defeated. Not only by Krishna, but by Krishna's devotees on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So, we certainly have to distribute theistic culture in the world. Theism, devotion to the Lord, devotion to God, service to the Lord, eternal service to the Lord. Because without this knowledge, the jivas are burning in illusion and suffering in this material world. Yesterday we had this program at Mantra Lounge, and one of the students there, the attendants, was saying, you know, my mind is really disturbed sometimes. I get emotional and angry and anxiety. How to deal with this mind? So, people, this is just one sample, one example of how everyone is feeling in this world. Because that lady, she said, I'm coming from a wealthy family. I have everything. I have everything. I studied, she got a job, good job. Still, I get freaked out, she said, you know. How do I deal with my mind? So you can see people don't really know that it's an identity crisis of the root cause of anxiety and problems. It's an identity crisis. If you understand you're the servant of the Supreme Being, if you understand the Source is a Supreme Person, infallible Supreme Person, Achyuta, infallible means Achyuta. If you understand that, then immediately you become peaceful. Bhaktaram Yagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shanti Vichati. One who understands that the Supreme Person is the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities. He is the master of all planets, all universes, all powerful demigods. One who understands the Supreme Being is the friend of everyone. He attains peace. Gyatvamam Shanti Vrichati. That knowledge of the Supreme Being, that He is a benevolent, all-powerful, loving, eternal Supreme Being. If we understand that, then immediately we become Shanti, peaceful. And no matter what kind of tornadoes are going around ourselves in the world, in terms of dealing with the world, with people, with situations, we will be always peaceful, because we are never agitated by the external world, knowing our position. I am the servant of Krishna. Whatever is happening is for my good. Whatever is happening around me is for my good. So let me see how to serve Krishna in this critical situation. And in that way you will never be disturbed. Because you know who you are. That is called self-realization. You see. And the devotees are so powerful that they are feeling happy and peaceful themselves, but they can also help others to reconnect with the Source, with the Supreme Person, with Krishna. The devotees are like transcendental electricians. You know, there is a powerhouse, and the electrician's duty is to get some cables from the powerhouse and connect it to the house, your house, so your house can have light at night. He's connected to the powerhouse and he can connect you, put some wires and connect you to the powerhouse. That's what devotee means. And how the devotee is doing that? By meditating on the lotus feet of the Supreme Person. How do you meditate on the lotus feet? Here it's explained you have to meditate for long years. But this is for the yogis, for the meditators who go into silent meditation, and they have to meditate on Krishna's lotus feet. But Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada, they made it so easy for us. You just engage in devotional service, and that's meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atman, Vedanam. So if you perform any of these nine processes of serving Krishna, you are meditating. And of course, the more one matures, the more their consciousness will be awakened and they will have more cognizance of what they are doing. Initially, in the beginning stages, we may be sweeping the floor, but we're not really thinking of Krishna as yet. But still, we are meditating in one sense on the service of the Lord, which is still at the lotus feet of the Lord. You are sheltered by that devotional service. If you don't perform service for Krishna, you will serve Maya. So, initially you may not be directly thinking of Krishna because the affection for Krishna is not blossomed yet. But you are thinking of devotional service, how happy you are in serving, you know, performing this activity. And Krishna is a little bit at the back of our mind. But the more we practice, the more Krishna becomes the permanent feature within the consciousness. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter whether you sweep the floor, you're cooking, you're doing deity worship, you're giving class, you're doing harinam, you're doing book distribution, or any other service. Krishna is taking prasadam. Krishna is at the forefront of your consciousness. You see him everywhere. Dealing with other people, you see Krishna behind it all the time. So, for example, I will share a few points again on harinam in the context of meditating on the Lord's lotus feet. Because harinam is actually kirtan, is one of the nine processes. And if we perform it properly, then we are meditating on the Lord's feet of the Lord. So a few points just so that we can reinforce what we learned previous week and the few weeks earlier with the devotees who were coming with me on harinam. We have to remember that harinam is about pleasing Krishna, and Krishna will be pleased if the people who see us are pleased. Okay? This is very important to understand. Sometimes we go on harinam but we don't care how people perceive us. And that is actually can be even disservice. If we are putting off people, then can be a disservice. So it's very important to understand the purpose why we're going out. We are going there to attract people, to impress them in a positive way, and then to relate to them and to bring them closer to Krishna. That is the purpose of harinam. We're not just going on the street just for the sake of just mechanically doing some rounds up and down and then just going home. The idea is to connect with people. Therefore, The consciousness must be proper. I am doing this to please Krishna. With sincere feeling to please Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a Prema Pumartha Mahan, he is giving the love of Godhead in this age. So I'm going out of Sankirtan to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if I am successful, the people will be very receptive to what we do and they will be eager to come closer. So that requires few components. Good consciousness, focused consciousness. Number one, most important, to know what you're doing, why you're doing. Then second thing, we have to have a good appearance, good dress code. Devotees who go in dhotis have to be more or less tired, you know, not like squashed. Someone slept in the dhoti and then just going on Harinam, doesn't look good. And those who are not wearing dhotis, they have to wear respectable clothing. Not some beach shorts or something like that. We have to look respectable. It's fine, someone can wear Western clothes, but must be something respectable, clean and neat. So people can relate to very nice. We're not some kind of a mob just doing something there. We are very much conscious how we are perceived by the public. Then dress code. First, number one is consciousness, number two is dress code. Number three is always thinking that I am doing this to relate to people and therefore relating to the people by looking at reaction towards us, a smile or something like that. Or sometimes they're just staring, they don't know what we're all about. If you just wave at them, they oh yeah, they waved at me, they also want to wave at you. Because they don't know who you are, what you're doing. They look at you like that, and they don't. Some people are like, wow, what is this? But if you're friendly and wave at them, then, oh yeah, I'll wave back at them. It's natural. But if you're just seeing this person is looking at me, and I'm also going to look down, and I don't care about it, then no connection. But if you wave at them, smile at the person, he will wave and smile. Most probably, most of the time it happens. Then they will make advancement. They will kind of identify with us. Oh, these are nice people. They are singing nicely and they're very jolly and positive people. They're good people. So, and then when this happens, we see someone positive waving at us. It's good to have not more than two book distributors. Because two book distributors is good, because if we have more, sometimes I noticed the other day one person was enjoying taking photo or video of us, and then three, four people, book distributors, went after one after another to him. He got disturbed. One book distributor, sir, take this, the second one, sir, take that, the other one, can you buy this book? The other one's coming. We're basically ganging up on one person. Doesn't look good. One person dealing with that gentleman and another one dealing with someone else. Or if there are more book distributors, everyone should focus on one person, not everyone jumping on the same person. It's completely unprofessional. It scares people. And we look like just some bunch of, you know, we got some ulterior motive, some business or something else we're doing. We're not really for benefiting the people, but we're just some kind of a advertisement technique or something to gain something from it. This is not what we are. We are actually advertising locally now. So one book distributor goes and offers them urban yoga flyer, please, and the crossways flyer together. Then I arranged $135 for magazines, Hare Krishna magazine, 50 years. We distributed 25 already. So the others are available, Keshava Acharya has them. And please, I'm asking all of you very, very humbly, please take some of these magazines, buy them and distribute them. It's only $2 per magazine. So you can buy 5 a week or something. Each one of you who works, buy 5 a week, $10. And then give it to the Sankirtan monks to distribute to people. Also, how to distribute this magazine? Don't just give it to anyone. If someone takes a book and gives some donation, give them as a gift. This is the best, because you know they'll appreciate because they gave a donation for the book. And this comes as a free gift. Oh, you bought a $2 book coming back. Sir, here is this a gift for you. You know they'll appreciate. But there are people, I saw some devotees just shoving them in their throat, you know, just take this. Then I saw one magazine lying on the bench after the Haridam party, we were going down. They have no respect. So you have to be careful whom you're giving. You have to make sure the person you're giving is really inspired. They really want to have this magazine. Don't just give it to anyone. Intelligence. It's like performing Haridam is like a major business. If you have a business, you can't just do whatever you want and succeed in your business. You have to know how to run the business to have a success. So similarly, Haridam is a business, spiritual, transcendental business of delivering mercy, Mahaprabhu's mercy. So all the details of how it should be done must be understood, very well taught, properly, you know, and all the dynamics we should be aware of, what we are doing, how we should be doing, why should we be doing, all these questions must be clearly answered within our head when we are performing that service. So then of course the devotees, when they are on the street, standing or walking, there must be symmetry, some kind of symmetry. They have to look good, not like a mob, you know. There must be some symmetry. The ladies, usually if they're there, they form a group, they dance nicely. So the boys have to learn also how to dance nicely. It's beautiful to dance for Krishna. People like when people dance, to watch, you know. So like there are steps, one going forward, one backwards, you know, like that. Or everyone going forward, everyone backwards, left and right. If there are two rows, one row can go this way, one that way, like that. There's so many different ways to improve how we look, you know, in the public eye. And that is all, remember, meditation on the Lord's feet of the Lord. So then when the devotees walk up the street, it's good to have, if there are ladies, hopefully there are a few of them at the front dancing, because they create this colorful, beautiful front. And then those who have dhotis, maybe they can be behind them. And those who have civil clothes at the back, or other way around, if someone is playing mridanga or something, they can be symmetry, to have some symmetry. Waving at people, greeting them. We mentioned already that. We spoke about book distribution. And then if someone is really favorable, the book distributors can actually take their contact details or something, if they're fast enough. And they feel the person to be favorable. But this is very rare, to get someone to trust us immediately to such a degree to give you contact details. Generally, people need to be warmed up. So the flyer to Urban Yoga can serve this purpose. They can come and get warmed up there, get relaxed. And then the Urban Yoga team, we had a meeting with them, how to receive the people, how to look after them, how to cultivate them. We have also spoke about that. So we have to work together as a whole transcendental machine, put it that way. It's many different components that are working together. Sankirtan works with Urban Yoga, Crossways works with Sankirtan, book distributors work with Crossways and Sankirtan, you know, with Crossways and the Urban Yoga. So everything is intertwined, interconnected. We are all one team. We are not separate teams. Everyone doing his own thing. So this is meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord, and the more we have this consciousness, the more we will succeed in being effective in attracting people to Krishna. Another thing is learn to sing nicely. Learn to play instruments nicely. Because this is very important. If we are not singing pleasantly, then people can't understand the holy name. Just hearing the holy name. They want to hear some nice melody, whatever. Nice melody and of course nice singing. Everyone appreciates art and talent. So we have to keep learning. Vedanga, cartels. The devotees shouldn't learn tunes on the street. They should know the tune and they should sing something they know already. This is very, very important. To sound well as look well. To sound well. Sometimes we went the other day on the Hainan. On Friday with Maharaj, we had 300 Mridangas and 500 Katas, and the voice could hardly be heard, and everyone was playing. One is forward, one is behind. The rhythm was not kept properly. I felt really disturbed. I wasn't very happy on Friday. We really tried to get it, but and why? Because most of the devotees who came on Harinam, they were not actually trained about these things that I spoke. Because Maharaj was there, this big mob came suddenly because of Maharaj. Otherwise they don't go on Harinam, but because Maharaj is there, let's go. And then they are not trained, they're just doing whatever they think is right. And then we didn't have such a, I mean, it was alright, but it wasn't really the impact that we could really do when we are focused, conscious, everyone knows what they're doing. Therefore we need training, Harinam training. Very serious. Just like you need training to worship the deity, in the same way you need training to do Harinam. It's not less important, Harinam training, than deity worship training. Because Harinam is the deity. Harinam Prabhu. Yeah? So therefore, let us focus on these aspects. Devotees who can't play so well, they shouldn't try to take the instruments and play. First learn and then play on Harinam. You can play at the temple because, you know, here it's our internal affair. But when you go on the street, it's different. You can't just learn on the street, playing mridanga or something, playing kartals. It's unacceptable to be learning on the street. Unacceptable. You know, because it doesn't sound pleasant. It disturbs. One is faster playing, the other one slower. They don't listen to one another. They don't focus. So, and every time I think before we do Harinam, Devanath Prabhu, whoever is there in charge, has to give a short brief, 1 or 2 minutes to the devotees, especially if there are new people, so that the new people are aware what is going to be done and how it should be done. And after that, a little brief on how it went. Like, okay, we did well with this and that, but this area we were not so good, and this, let's improve next time. It's like a soccer team, when they go to play soccer, the trainers, the coaches briefing the soccer team what he wants achieved on the field. And then he watches the game from the bench, and he sees exactly their weaknesses and their strengths. And when they finish the game, whether they had a draw or won or lost or whatever, he gathers them again, and then there is a little discussion how we did and certain aspects that could be improved. It's always about improvement. It's not about, we know how to do Harinam, just bang the instrument, scream the Hare Krishna, jump, freak them out, these are damn karmis, you know. Just they're simple karmis. and we are given the mercy by screaming on the street, Hare Krishna. Not like that. We have to do it with compassion, with thoughtfulness, with devotion. We have to share love. People have to feel this is different energy. These people are interesting. They are nice. So you can see a lot of meditation has to be put into the lotus feet of Krishna to have a success. And then you will see, I guarantee you, if we have this kind of a strong consciousness, focused meditation on Harinam, along with the book distributors advertising our programs, more and more people will start coming, for Durban Yoga, etc. And then we will see this. Then the devotee Harinam is very powerful. Also, those of you who work at Crossways, O Gopals, you are allowed to make friends with people. Not just to dish some prasada and don't care, are they going to hell or whatever. Who cares? I don't care about that. You are allowed to make friends with people. Hey, how are you? Nice to see you. You know, are you from Melbourne? Or I'm just visiting here. Okay, how long have you been in Melbourne? Well, I'll be 1 year, I'm just working now. Cool, nice to see you. We've got this urban yoga, we want to come to some yoga. Got some interesting events happening, and if you want to join us, good food again, it's very nice. And get to know them a little bit. So, what do you do? What's your field of activity? Or I'm an engineer, whatever. It's just like that. And gradually they'll feel, yeah, I'm just such a nice person. I'll go to urban yoga. I want to be with this kind of people. Everyone wants to find some nice person, nice persons to be with. That's what they're looking for. And if we are not nice, they won't come. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada aqui.
Jai!
Enquanto vários estão abrindo aqui.
Jai!
Ai, vou para o
Brasil.
So, dear devotees, I have to run. Practically get my luggage and jump in the car. So, thank you. If there are any questions or comments, you can email me or Facebook me or WhatsApp me. Yes, bro.
I got two comments.
Yes.
Number one, when you were telling about Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva is doing wonderful service all the time. You know, after the sea mantan, yes. He drank all the poison.
Yes.
So, and in that yagna, he was in Daksha.
He was in South.
He was actually remembering Lord Shankarshan.
Yes.
So, and he's speaking all the time, like Vijayatas.
Yeah.
So Lord Shiva is always doing service.
Yes.
And second point was about your preaching and your chanting and how you're distributing the whole band, you were doing Amish program, whole, everybody was dancing when you were doing Kirtan. So thank you very much for your speech.
Thank you so much.
Rakshasa
Bhakta Vrinda Ki
Jai.
Thank you, dear devotees.
One point though.
Oh, okay, quick.
Just when you were saying that the leader needs to look after the newcomers,
yes.
And those who are in the arena. So my point here is just a suggestion. Obviously, we don't have even leaders trained. So first the leader needs to get the first training,
yes.
About how to attend the Harinam.
Yes.
Once they are trained, they can be trained.
That's a good point. I will speak to development.
And second thing, we need more than one trainer. Because not one trainer will always attend Harinam. He might have to be away.
Have something. Yeah. Okay, so good point.
Few more.
Good points. Thank you. Krishna Prabhu.
I have three questions.
Three questions. I'll miss my flight. Just give me one question, the others will be answered by Gopa Mahesh Prabhu. Okay.
If when Hiranyakashipu got the boon that Lord, if Hiranyakashipu got the boon that he won't get killed by any weapon, will he get killed by the Lord Sudarshan Chakra?
No, Hiranyakashipu was actually destroyed by the nails of the Shingari, not by the chakra.
But if the Lord would get killed, Sandesh, the Darshan Chakra, would he get killed?
Yes.
Yeah, so Darshan Chakra is all powerful, but the Leela was that he doesn't kill. He doesn't get killed by the Sudarshan Chakra, but not by a human being, not by animal, not by demigod, not inside or outside, not in the day or night, not in water or land. He was on the lap of the Lord, not with any weapon. So in that way, he was defeated. Very cleverly by Lord Vishnu. Hare Krishna. You can ask the other two questions to Gopal and Deshpur, okay? Thank you, Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.